At least.
Is this an oral amendment?
Yeah, this is an oral amendment.
Okay, let's all get to the page. Page 6.
Line 16. Strike at least 20 and insert not more than 40.
What page?
Page 6, line 16.
Strike at least 20 and insert not more than 40.
And members, I offer this amendment because I understand that when we first created charter schools, we had a vision that this would be an opportunity in many cases for teachers to have a different kind of relationship with governing. And that was a wonderful thing, and they still can do that. But I think we've moved to a place where we can allow charter schools to make their own decision about whether they want 20% or not, you know, because some charter schools are now being formed outside of a teacher group. So I don't think we ought to be so prescriptive to say they must have 20%. But I'm not as married to that issue. I really, you know, I think it's better governance to not prescribe that, but I feel very strongly about saying not more than 40% because I think in any organization, be it a school, be it a corporation, and we have seen the last several years what's happened to our economy as a result of not having the appropriate oversight and regulation with regard to governance and boards. And this is a case where I don't think it's appropriate to have a majority on a board be the employees of the school, the company, the anything, that there must be a checks and balances in place. And so if more teachers want to have a voice, then have a bigger board. But I do not think that it's appropriate to have a situation where there's a majority of the employees running the board.
Here. Senator Saltzman.
To that point, Senator Bonhoeff, Mr. Chair, I would like to maybe suggest that there be a little bit more discussion of keeping in at least 20%. And the reason being is that I think that what has worked in charter schools is having the teacher at the table. And to just go completely in the opposite direction, the school board as itself really sets, you know, has to talk about its governance. And so we are looking at on a board of 5 people, which is the minimum number, there would be at least one teacher on that board, which would feel appropriate. If you had 10 people, it would be 2. So it's not an overwhelming number, but I would, as a friendly suggestion, you might, if you would amend your amendment, I would be much more receptive.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, by saying at least 20, you can still have 100% teachers. And I think the point that she's trying to make is that, I guess I would wonder why you want to have the not more than 40, why you would have the percentage that high. I think it should be a smaller percentage if you have just a representation. But I think some of the reports that I've heard is that it isn't always the healthiest for the operation of it to have, you know, the existing staff there, and it can make it difficult for the whole organization, not just the, you know, even within the staff situation if you have too many teachers.
Senator Saltzman.
Yes. To that point, perhaps I was not clear, Mr. Chair, and Senator Olson, is that I would suggesting that the language might be at least 20% and no more than 40% of its members as licensed teachers. So you would sort of have a minimum and a maximum number of teachers on the board. So if you had a board of 5, which is the minimum, you would have at least one teacher, but no more than 2 on the board. And that will change. As maybe you remember, we had the new country school here, and we keep talking about that school, I think, because it's been extremely successful, and it is an excellent model of a teacher majority board, that it came together with teachers. So I think by having the no more than 40, it's not going to be all teachers, because we also require parents to be on that board, and then also, you know, another community member. So I would be more open to that there is teacher participation.
Okay. Senator Bonhoeff amends her motion so that it reads at least 20, but not more than 40 5%.
Yes, I'm comfortable with that, and if Mr. Chair, and if Senator Olson, following that, wants to change my 40 to 30, she's welcome to do that, but I'll start with 40.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think as Senator Saltzman has said, if it's a five-member board, I'm not sure how you'd have a half a person, so I'm not uncomfortable leaving it at 40.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on this matter? Ms. Piccolo.
Mr. Chair, members, our belief is that there should be flexibility, but also recognize that one of the purposes of charter schools, purpose number 6, is to provide teachers, including the opportunity to be responsible for the learning program at the school site. That is one of the 6 purposes of the law. And so we proposed in our proposal that there be multiple models allowed for governance, and then the school could pick which model and then have a process for changing that. And if they did want a teacher majority, they could have one, because we do have schools that are based around a cooperative teaching model, project-based learning schools, and very much that works in those situations. In other situations, it is not the appropriate model. But to leave that flexibility to the individual schools rather than being so prescriptive in the law that you have to have one or this or the other.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Piccolo, I support those schools, and I think that those models are working. I think that's distinct from a board makeup, which is something very different than designing the structure of how you run your school. And if so, I'm hopeful that this change will not dampen the spirit of those types of schools. I do still believe that from an overall checks and balances perspective, we shouldn't have more than a majority ever being the employees on a board.
Anyone else like to testify?
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonner, and you do rule out that cooperative model. I think he was making the point that there is a model where if it's a cooperative model, you might still have all, rather than have to have another board over that.
Senator Olson, I'm suggesting that you could have a cooperative model without having your board have to be in a cooperative makeup. You could have a cooperative model of teaching and of doing everything without your board reflecting a teacher majority. I think that we heard from the auditor there's been some problems in governance, and so I think it's time that we go back the other direction and just have a safeguard in place, and that you could still allow, you know, any number of types of situations to exist without having your board reflect that makeup.
But, Mr. Chairman, I guess maybe I'm not understanding the cooperative model, because I think they make their financial decisions, the group of teachers, whether, and that's their board, of how they structure their salaries, their the benefits, all of that kind of stuff is part of that operation. So maybe I'm misunderstanding it, of why you would still need a separate board from that, if that in fact worked.
Mr. Piccolo.
Mr. Chair, members, in the cooperative model that we're talking about, part of that model is that the board is also composed of a teacher majority board. There is no school that has a 100% teacher membership, but they do have a teacher majority board within that model. You cannot have, under the charter school law, another board that has power over a board, because then you'd have to have another nonprofit on top of the current nonprofit, because you cannot have multiple governing boards of a nonprofit under state law.
Mr. Craig.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Piccolo, and I know you and I have talked about this a couple of occasions back before the session, I think, when we first talked about this governance model. And I also have been sensitive to the critiques and the challenges by the auditor on this and the reports that they've done. And And I tend to agree with Senator Bonhoff that I think the governance model that is where you have a board that is a majority of employees presents some inherent conflicts. And I appreciate the cooperative, you know, structure, but we have in the regular school law, you're not even allowed to have one person who's an employee of a traditional school district serve on a board. That's forbidden explicitly as a conflict of interest. And it seems to me, even if you want to have a cooperative agreement or arrangement for a charter school to then say we will permit a majority of the board to be employees, I think that raises some real governance issues. So I guess I'm going to support Senator Bonhoff's amendment because I think it does try to strike that balance of saying, well, we're going to certainly permit and allow, but it just doesn't seem to make sense to give the employees of an enterprise, a public enterprise, the ability to govern that enterprise and then govern themselves. I think it's a little bit of a conflict that the auditor has pointed out. So I think I appreciate the model, and we've talked about this, but I know I've struggled with this in the past, so I think I'm going to support Senator Bonhoff's amendment.
Mr. Kite. Charlie Kite with the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Just very briefly, we would speak in favor of this amendment. Consider also that indirectly what it does is it also increases the participation of the parents who are the core users of the school on the board by really giving them an opportunity to have a larger share. And we do agree with Senator Bonhoff about the fact that it probably is not the best thing, especially when very difficult decisions have to be made, to have the actual employees being in the majority on a board. So we support this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Bonhoff renews her motion. Further discussion? Senator Rummel.
I would like to ask the author her position. Sorry, I was out.
That's a good question, Senator Revel. I felt that by at least 20%, we were really leaving everything open. We didn't have options. I know the House bill has several options, and I struggle with this because I think there are schools that are working really well, but I also see the opportunity for abuse. And I think we've heard from some charter school staff who, even though they had staff majorities, how it didn't work, and how when staff were supervising staff and some of those issues. So I struggle with it. But again, I think it's a good discussion, and this is the first stop for this bill. It will go forward, and if this committee feels that they want to bring that to the committee, the full E-12, there'll be plenty of time for people to lobby some of you to talk about why maybe having a teacher majority remaining in here would be something to think about. So I think it does address some of the issues that we've heard from the legislative auditor. And maybe there is a possibility as this goes forward for those schools who currently have a teacher majority are grandfathered in. Because I think that if you have a board that's working really well and there's a successful school, we don't want to disrupt that. So that may be part of the discussion.
Sarah Rummel.
So are you neutral on this amendment, or is this an unfriendly amendment?
I am neutral on it, Mr. Chair and Senator Rummel.
Thank you.
Sarah Bonner.
Mr. Chairman, and just one more way to look at it is that there's a clear distinction between management and oversight, and that if you look at the way we run our school districts with a superintendent, and then you have your principals, and many schools are run from a site council, and you know, in Minneapolis they've had some real success with principal governed schools, that the cooperative charter school is a style of management, and that the board's function is oversight as well. And so I think what we're having here, you could still have a cooperative school, and I don't see that it would actually change that. I'm just putting something in place that I think is needed.
On the amendment, further discussion? Not all in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any other amendments? Senator Henn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have a couple, but as long as we're on that section, I guess I'd like to address the point that I brought up earlier when the bill was being presented, and that deals with the paragraph F, and specifically I'd like to move to delete the I guess, the second condition that's on 6.18 through the end of the line on 6.19. So to do that, you'd have to, my motion would be to strike on line 6.17 the colon, the parenthesis number one, close parenthesis, and then go down to 6.18 and replace the semicolon after guardian with a period, and then delete all the subsequent words in that line plus the words on 6.19 through the first period. So it would read then, school board of directors shall be a board having at least 20, but not more than 40, if Senator Ponop's amendment, and must include a charter school parent or legal guardian, period.
Okay, on Senator Hand's motion, Senator Salzman.
Yes.
And we have had a discussion on this about an hour ago.
Right. So briefly, Mr. Chair and members, you know, I heard earlier today when Mr. Brown was up here, he made the comment, and I don't mean to particularly just cite him, but he made the comment that a charter school is governed by their community. And I heard that, and I thought that's exactly why I would like to see a broader community brought into a school, because, again, I believe charter schools, we keep being reminded charter schools are public schools. And so they are part of the public and also the greater community. And there are many people who, as we've had this group, have suggested, and there have been proposals, we've heard, you know, some testimony, that we should perhaps look at going back to charter schools are only authorized by school districts and perhaps higher education institutions. We've heard that. I have seen some of the other states who are doing charter schools and have, you know, many of them, only a few of them, provide for the nonprofit the nonprofit groups to sponsor, so that there is some sort of elected body that has a strong connection with a charter school. When you think about the amount of money that is being appropriated to charter schools, and the first elected official above that those schools is in the governor of the state. And I think that's why we have seen some of the situations that have come forward that are what's happening within charter school boards, not feeling that they have anyone to go to, sponsors who have not been successful. I have tried to run this committee very respectfully in that we didn't bring in all the stories about charter schools that are not working. And I certainly could have had many hours of that testimony, and we touched on some of that. So I would like to keep this in here because I think it's important to have some community connection. And I think we should look at this as how it can be positive with a school district and a charter school sitting down and hopefully looking at who would be good people in the community that they would like the school district to appoint. And I'd like to think that we could look at this in a positive way instead of this is going to be a gotcha thing. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know earlier in the discussion I'd asked our counsel about, I'm not sure about, frankly, the legality of appointing someone, especially appointing someone from, and it doesn't really say who appoints. It says appointed by the resident school district. Does that mean all the voters in the district? Does it mean the superintendent? Does it mean the school board? Does it mean the chairman of the school board? It's a little vague about how that happens. And I appreciate, Senator Salzman, your point about, and I agree with you that we want charter schools, I certainly do, to be a part of the community. But my experience with charter schools is it's been with the resident school districts a little tenuous. And many charter schools have gone to great lengths to reach out and to try to work with them. And sometimes that works pretty well and sometimes it doesn't. And I can't help but think that by doing this, and maybe Mr. Piccolo would like to comment about what his organization, how they would react to this, I can't help but think this would be a real detriment to the growth of the charter school movement, because for charter schools to work and to survive, you have to have a board that is passionately committed to the success of the school. And if you appoint somebody from an organization that may not really be interested in the success of the school but may have other things they're interested in, that can be a huge problem. So is Mr. Piccolo, would he be willing to come up and at least tell us what his organization might feel about my amendment?
Yes, if anyone would like to testify on this, and I don't believe we're prepared on a legal opinion yet, but there will be other opportunities for that impact as well. Mr. Piccolo,
Senator Weaver,
on the amendment.
on the amendment. We would support the amendment to remove this particular requirement. We have no problem with having people from the community being defined beyond parents and staff, but to say that it's from the resident district where the school is located, I think there's a major legal issue here, because if their public school, if the traditional board is appointing somebody to the charter school board, the liability of that school district, they would become partially liable for any action of the charter school taken by the charter school. I think that's a major change in public policy that you'd be embarking on, and so we support the Senator Hahn's amendment to take that out, but we would be supportive of putting language in to talk about that the board has to be made up of teachers, parents, and community people.
That sounds good.
And is Mr. Dean's here? School boards, but Mr. Piccolo, you indicated that the public school board would be liable then for any act.
If yes, Mr. Chair, if they're appointing somebody to the charter school board in their official capacity as a public institution, then they are going to be taking some liability on for every action that charter school does.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, would just taking the phrase appointed by the resident school district just leave an interested community member in, as so there would be at least an interested community member along with the parent and guardian and the teacher representation, and that flexible beyond that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, we would support that.
Yes. Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Chairman, and Senator Salzman, would you be amenable to Senator Olson's suggestion to, I guess my problem is too, is that it's an appointed member and that it's also appointed by another school system. If it were an interested community member elected, I mean, sort of extending the scope of who's elected to be someone who may not be directly affiliated with the school, I think that would be okay if that's, I don't want to be hostile to your bill here, but.
So that point that are right, Mr. Chair, how is, because the community is not able to elect the school board of the charter school, the it's very clear who can be part of that election, then there is really no one that the community sort of appoints or is involved. And I look at the Hiawatha Leadership Academy. When I saw the board when it first opened, it's an incredible board. It is truly a community board that represents, brings in people that really aren't related to that school at all. I don't know if some, I know there may be parents on it now, and there were teachers, but I know that you were on it at one point. And that is a wonderful example of really reaching out to the community. But then I see other schools, and we have some legal issues right now with the charter school. We look at other charter schools, and it's a very close group. And their community members are, frankly, not really community members. They're part of the core group of people who have been involved with that school. And so, again, I go back to how do we broaden so that there is, because I think this is part of the public oversight as well, that people will ask, I don't know anything about that school. We're trying to deal with that with more, public reporting. But how do we really bring in public representatives? Because you could also say within a public school, again, everybody gets to vote. You know, charter school parents get to elect people who are on a public school board. So I'm really trying to find a way here to deal with that. And I'm sensing that this was my first sort of attempt at having a broader representation.
Ms. Kelleher.
Madam Chairman and members, I can just bring you a little piece of information. School board members do carry some liability insurance for themselves bought for by the board, and I would assume charter school boards buy that for their board members also. If this individual was part of the charter school board, they would be covered by that. Board members are not covered, though, from criminal activity and criminal liability. That would still go on in place. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have to share.
Ms. Kelleher, does MSBA have a position on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, we do not.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the legal issue was whether the resident school district board would carry some liability for appointing to this board, which I don't think is quite what has been addressed. But having an interested community member, if you left the rest of it out, you do have a process, and there's nothing that stops a charter school of reaching out, and inviting, as many of our other units of government invite people to apply for appointed positions or to be elected, because we have this set up here in paragraph D about how that is to be conducted. But how you find them is the key. Either they've expressed some interest as a community member without having a child there, or they're invited to consider that and make themselves available.
Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saltzman, I hear your the tension in what you're looking for and yet the inherent problems with this. I wonder if there isn't something to put in the sponsoring responsibility that has to do with demonstrating but put the responsibility that you're looking for, consider putting it in the oversight area versus the governance area. I'm not sure, but I think it is problematic to have an outside district appoint to a board, because then you've automatically got this weird setup on a board where everybody was elected but this one person who was appointed.
Sarah Hand.
Mr. Chairman, just before we proceed, I'm reading this again. It looks like I'm going to have to amend that amendment to also delete the words "or appointed" on line 6.15. Our counsel just also came to me, and he said that he'd gone to see Peter Watson, just asking him the question about the legality of appointing. Mr. Watson doesn't think there's any constitutional issues with appointing somebody, notwithstanding all the other concerns that we may have, but apparently, in Mr. Watson's opinion, there's no legal issue in doing that, which was a concern I had originally. So I want to make sure that's clear. So my motion would be to delete that "or appointed" on line 6.15, and then to, in effect, delete that second clause on line 6.18 as described earlier.
That'll be included in your amendment.
Yes.
Mr. Piccolo, did you want to readdress?
Yes, Mr. Chair. In terms of the community, it might be wise to put an interested community member that is not affiliated with the school, meaning that they are not a parent or employee or a parent of the school. That way it's clear that it's not that you cannot, that the community member is somebody outside of the school, this really tight school community.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Hand's amendment takes that interested community member out altogether.
No.
Unless he accepted my suggestion of removing appointed by the resident school district.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I haven't accepted your recommendation yet, but I guess I was trying to look for some agreement with Senator Saltzman on how we might do this, and if Mr. Piccolo is seeming to be in agreement, I'd be willing to amend that to say an interested community member not associated with the charter school, providing that it was still an elected board member. And if that would be acceptable as a compromise here, I'm willing to do that. I'm just troubled by the appointment process and then having it owned by the resident school district. But.
Sarah Saltzman.
So since Mr. Brown is at the table, Mr. Chair, maybe he has I'd like to hear from him.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chairman, to just the amendment in general, I just wanted that I completely understand the intent that Senator Saltzman's getting at. And the department is very supportive of having community members on boards. The strongest boards do have very active community members with all kinds of expertise that are helpful to charter schools, financial, accounting, legal responsibility. I'm worried about two probably unintended consequences of this provision as it's currently written. One is, for those of you who have sat through the presentation from the OLA on their report from last year, one of the goals of the OLA that's pretty much embodied in this legislation was to make clear the lines of accountability to charter schools, that charter schools are accountable to authorizers and authorizers are accountable to the department. And I'm a little concerned that then if you have a school district that doesn't happen to be the authorizer, appointing a member to the board is now the school district have a role in that accountability chart off to the side that's separate from the authorizer. And so now we're messing with that, trying to make a clear accountability structure again. The second unintended consequence, which is builds a little bit on the point that Mr. Piccolo brought up, is in those cases where the local school district is the authorizer, that we would essentially be forcing the authorizer to have a member on the board, even if they didn't want to, because they felt that was a conflict of interest in holding the school accountable. And again, we've consistently, although this isn't current law, we've consistently, the department encouraged and provided guidance to current sponsors that they should not have a board member, not have someone affiliated with them on the board, because it complicates their ability to hold the school accountable, for instance, for financial mismanagement. And I'm worried that as we switch over to this new accountability system where we're directly approving authorizers, that we might have some school districts that say, I don't want to be an authorizer if I'm going to be forced to have a board member or an appointed member on this board when I don't want to have that because I think it's a conflict of interest. But I think that we could work on some language, perhaps, you know, if Senator Hahn's amendment was adopted, then we could work with some language on Senator Saltzman that might get at more of the issue that she's raising, which is better interaction between the charter school and their local community broadly defined.
Senator Hannon, may I suggest that you withdraw the amendment with the understanding that interested parties work to perfect a new amendment that might be amenable?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'd prefer to have the amendment adopted with the understanding that we would agree to work with the department and others to provide. I think we're all in agreement with what Senator Saltzman is trying to do. I'm just really uncomfortable with this language.
It's very much. Well, you know, I would agree with that, Senator Hahn, if I also knew that there was going to be additional work on this, because I think just stating that an interested community member, that's pretty much the status quo right now, and that's not really addressing how we broaden and build a stronger base of support within a community. So that's what I've struggled with. I've tried to figure this out for the past month and a half, is how we do that, and so that was my intent.
And Mr. Chairman,
I need to ask a question.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, and Senator Saltzman. I guess what I'd be willing to say is if the department, and Mr. Brown, if he could speak for the department, would be willing to perhaps work with Mr. Piccolo or the and come up with a recommendation to accomplish that, and commit to having an amendment that we could bring to this bill before it gets to the floor, or I'd be willing to do that. But I am uncomfortable going forward with the language as it is. I just don't think that is workable. But I'd be happy to request formally that the department provide some language to try to accomplish what you're intending.
Through the board, Mr. Chair, is there a hand? So through the board or through other means?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Saltzman, when you say through the board.
Board membership.
Board membership, I'd say board membership, yes. Okay. But my point would be to have that an elected position not be appointed by the school district, but elected and defined in some way that it would try to get at the concerns I think all of us support of how to get that broader community connection. So if there's a way to do that, I'm happy to do it.
Senator Saltzman.
So on that point, Mr. Chair, I would be willing to to work on that if there is a commitment to work on that and try to find a way to perhaps look at how to recruit interested community members, because again we go back to, just as there will be concerns that a charter school board, someone is imposed on them, when there is a self-selection process, there is no guarantee that a community member is going to apply as well when they're not even able to vote. So I just pose that as well.
Mr. Brown, we are committing you to some follow-up here, just so you're aware of that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Shine.
Mr. Chairman, just because I've been listening intently and maybe I missed earlier discussion about what you mean by community. Is it defined here, or do you mean the city? Because that would have left Senator Hahn off. I mean, he wouldn't have qualified as a community member, I think. And, of course, the school community isn't just people in that city. So I'm just wondering what you mean by community and should you define it?
To answer that, Senator Scheid, I would say that this is not limiting. You could have five community members on a board. But this particular provision was to ensure that there was some sort of relationship with that someone was coming from the broader community. And like I said, in some school districts, in some of our charter schools that have been extremely effective, they have a very broad. This particular provision would not have disallowed Senator Hand from being on, you know, the charter school board he was on. I think he stepped down because of a conflict of interest. But this would not limit other community members from being on a board as well. And in community, there are people right now who don't live in a community of a charter school that can be on a board. There's no limitations. Teachers don't have
to have residency. So we are talking about the municipality, the city. Is that what you mean by community? I'm just really curious what it means. Is it defined someplace else? I just think you ought to think about what that word means here.
Sarah.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we should do what we're going to do and know that we're going to try to address this by the time we get to Education Committee.
And
Sarah Hand.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd like to renew my motion and just formally here ask of the department to bring us some language that would be constructive to the purpose that we've talked about. And sometime before we get this to the floor, that we would have an opportunity to amend the bill to reflect that. And if Mr. Brown could commit to helping us find out how to do that, and I think Senator Scheid is raising a good question. I don't know. I don't think we want to necessarily limit community member to be within a boundary or something, but somehow I think you're raising a legitimate point that we all who support charter schools are interested in is getting commitment and participation. So if you would commit to do that, then I'd like to renew my motion and will in good faith work with you and Sarah Saltzman to bring language that will accomplish that purpose.
Sarah Saltzman, are you comfortable with that, recognizing that this is
will be a full
discussion?
Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, if I could just
Dr. McQuay.
Restate the motion. On lines, on page 6, line 15, strike
appointed.
Or appointed. Yep. On line 17, strike the colon and open paren, one, close paren. Strike, delete line 16, excuse me, delete line 18.
No, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, delete.
After guardian.
Everything after guardian.
Right, period after guardian.
And on line 19, delete the resident school district.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. McQuay, you have that.
Yes. On that motion, further discussion. Not all in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Carried. With that understanding. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saltzman, for some reason I thought the way we were going to do it was going back to what Senator Olson had put in there, and I wondered if...
It can come back. It's all right.
It's fine? Okay. If then you would have voted yes. I was just curious.
Well, Senator Bonoff and Mr. Chair, as I thought I heard the amendment the first time, it was just to drop appointed by the resident school district, but the whole thing has been stricken. So, as
Mr. Chair, Senator Saltzman, that's what I thought you thought, and so that's what I'm clarifying. Did you think that we were going to leave an interested community members, period, and then drop appointed by the resident school district and then work from there? Did you think that?
I thought, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, that we're going to have a discussion on this, and I think that I've had the commitment of this committee to work on that. But I did think we were just striking the appointed by the resident school district. So,
and Mr. Chairman?
Sarah Hand.
And I apologize. If that would be a better, I'm happy to have that be the motion and would be happy to remake the motion to strike the or appointed and then if that would be better. I'm not trying to.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, I'd feel a little bit better about this bill moving forward. If we could put that back in.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how I can do this. Can I
withdraw
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I think the motion would be to strike the previous I wish Amory were here, but strike the previous motion from, or strike the previous vote and motion from the record.
Okay, can I do that as a member who voted on the prevailing side to reconsider and agree that to make the new motion to delete the or appointed and then delete?
All in favor of reconsideration, indicate aye.
Aye.
We now have before us the
new motion,
the amendment, which you can change.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would modify that amendment to be to delete the or appointed on line 6.15 and then go down to 6.18 and delete appointed by, and then on line 6.19, the resident school district, period. With the understanding previously noted with Mr. Brown.
With the understanding, but we aren't going to repeat it at risk of getting that wrong. Okay. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Are there any other amendments? Senator Henn.
I don't want to be the only one having amendments here, but I do have another one that I'd like to talk about on page 7 at the bottom, paragraph K, and on page 8, L and M. I would like to move to strike that language. And, Mr. Chairman, the reason is that what this language does is impose a moratorium or a ban on charter schools, and I don't think that that is a good signal to send. And we've had discussions about this before. I just think that that sends a very, very negative signal to people who are trying to start charter schools. I know of some that are working on them right now, and I think that it just is not a helpful.
Excuse me, Senator Henn, you're moving to delete lines 7.34 through 36.
Through 8.7.
And at page 8, 8.1 through 8.7. That is moved and continuing, Senator Henn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so, members, I'm just looking at that language, and I think it just sends the wrong signals to the charter school movement in particular. We've done a lot of things, and Senator Saltzman's bill is trying, and we've had reports from the auditor to try to correct some of the problems and to move forward. And I think that doing this in addition to that would do great harm. And so, members, I would encourage us to accept my amendment and not keep this language in the bill.
Senator Saltzman.
Yes. On this point, Mr. Chair and Senator Henn, we had extensive testimony last Friday on this particular provision, and we heard from a number of school districts, because I think that all of us have to remember that we want to support our charter schools, but we also have to think about our district schools. And district schools are really struggling, and we've had very emotional testimony. We've had some hearing in the E-12 committee recently about a school that is closing, and it's not a decision they would like to be making, but because of finances and many other issues, are very struggling. And so we're asking our schools to be more efficient. We're asking them to make these kinds of very critical decisions. And are they always in the best interest of kids? Well, they're trying to deal with all the finances. And so when you have districts that are trying to do the right thing to keep their schools strong, and they have brought some issues to us as well, and I think that we've tried in this bill to look at the sponsors, to increase the sponsor fees. I think that we've tried to work with the charter schools to work with them on how can we have the greater oversight and accountability. But then we're also listening to our district schools who have said, can you give us a little bit of a level playing field in some situations? And I think in this case, this is not something that is intended to hurt charter schools, but I think that when we're in economic times where schools are making very difficult decisions, and the question that comes up is that, is a charter school being started because it's truly the idea was there, the teachers came together, something was in place, or is it, here's an opportunity of parents saying, if they're going to close my school, I'm going to open a charter school instead. And I think for a school district that has made the decision because of, again, finances, This is in response to them. It's really a cooling off period. It's really a cooling off period for a school district and a community to mend after something that has been extremely emotional. So I've tried to listen to many different groups. And as to the cap that is put on in 8.7, one of the things that I know that there's been great discussion about expanding charter schools, supporting charter schools, and we've done great things in Minnesota, but we also have we've also perhaps can learn from our growing pains. We hear, again, charter schools that probably shouldn't be operating, and we should be focusing on replicating schools that work and perhaps looking at some of those schools that are not serving students very well and using sort of a time over the next 2 years with the dollars that we have, strengthen the schools that are there. See how this is working with the new oversight. And that's the intent of this particular section.
Members, I believe we have to be out of this room by 5:30.
5:15.
So, and I believe most of us know how we may be voting on this motion. I'd like to see if anyone in the audience would like to testify, and then we'll open it up for discussion.
Like to say something. Okay.
So is there anyone who'd like to testify? Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chairman and members, Morgan Brown with the Education Department. I do want to preface my comment on this provision by saying how much the department appreciates that Senator Saltzman did introduce the agency's bill with regarding charter schools, and she's included a lot of provisions in this bill that the department did request, particularly those that would implement the recommendations of the legislative auditor in their report from last year. Having said that, the department is strongly opposed to the language that would be deleted by Senator Hahn's amendment. I think our general feeling is that in terms of focusing on charter school quality, which is what the big push is here, and a lot of the OLA recommendations focus on looking at improving charter school quality by strengthening authorizers in terms of their accountability and their responsibility, that our general feeling is that moratoriums and caps tend to be rather arbitrary and not necessarily speak to the quality issue, because they're not they don't in and of themselves respond to either perceived needs in terms of academic needs for students and communities or parent demand for public school choice. And my personal experience has been in working with states around the country that have had moratoriums or caps is that in every case there's been unintended consequences, usually in terms of preventing quality schools from opening when there's long waiting lists of people who want those quality schools in their community. And I have to say, Senator, members, Commissioner Segrin just emailed me from, she's at the Council of Chief State School Officers, and they just heard from President Obama yesterday, and one of the things he emphasized to them is this focus on replicating quality and effective charter schools, and he specifically took a position that he does not want states to have caps and is asking states that have caps to take them off so they don't interfere with replication of quality charter schools, and she asked me to specifically make that point to the committee. So for that reason, we would support Senator Hahn's amendment on this language.
President Obama asked that be communicated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other testifiers.
Mr. Chairman and members, Sam Walseth with the Minnesota Rural Education Association. We do support the language that is in the amendment at this time, and for a practical reason. Frankly, we're looking at a very tough budget situation. We've been hearing that message over and over. My fear is a lot of the greater Minnesota districts are going to be going through a consolidation process over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And you do that consolidation process to create economies of scale and efficiencies and take small districts of 200, 300, 500 kids and actually put a group together where you actually have a large enough group of pupil units to run a robust program. And we like to see those consolidation plans be able to go forward unhindered and have a little cooling off period before a charter were to come in and kind of break up the efficiencies that you're trying to create. And we just think that a 3-year cooling off period is appropriate, especially through what we're going through for the next several years. Thank you.
And if we have several testifiers, if they could try to get to the heart of it in a minute or so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Scott Kronquist with the Association of Metropolitan School Districts. And I really will just echo what Mr. Walseth just said. We oppose the amendment and support the language that was in Senator Saltzman's Delete Everything amendment for the simple reason that it provides an orderly process when you have a school closure or consolidation. Allows for a cooling off period, I think, is a good way to frame it. I don't see how this stymies charter school growth. It is not meant, I don't think, to be an anti-charter school. I don't view it that way. Charter school provision just allows for an orderly transition in the community. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brad Lundell. I would like to echo the sentiments and the statements of Mr. Walseth and Mr. Kroonquist. I believe that cooling off period is probably the best way to frame this, and also for the same reasons that they have cited, Schools for Equity and Education wants schools on record as supporting the current language and opposing the Hahn Amendment.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Jim Bartholomew with the Minnesota Business Partnership, and I also want to take the opportunity to thank Senator Saltzman for all the time and consideration she's given to putting this together. We would support the amendment of Senator Hahn also, and I think we'd like to talk a little bit more about paragraph L in the sense that that may have some flexibility in there. Paragraph M is a cap, and I think if we go back to what's the purpose of charter schools, the purpose of charter schools is to come up with new and innovative ways that can better educate and meet the needs of students. Why would we want to put a limit on our ability to do that, which is what this does? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Stacia Smith, and I'm with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, the largest business advocacy organization in the state. And I support Senator Hahn's amendment. We thank him for offering it. The Minnesota Chamber of Commerce strongly supports especially results-oriented charter schools. And I just want to give this committee one example of the charter schools that are popping up around the Twin Cities. There's one called KIP, which stands for Knowledge is Power Program. And these are schools that are cropping up around the country that have a record of success. And I think it's really important to note that they would not be able to expand here, which is what they're planning to do. 80% of KIP students are low income. 90% are African American or Latino. Yet more than 90% of KIP middle school students have gone on to college preparatory high schools, and more than 80% of KIP alumni have gone on to college. Minnesota's first KIP school just opened last year in Minneapolis. They plan to expand to 5 schools in 5 years. They would not be able to do this under paragraph M. There's also other results-oriented charter schools that really are important. There is no reason why we wouldn't want to have them here if we really, truly are committed to closing the achievement gap. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Grace Kelleher for the Minnesota School Boards Association. And, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to weigh in on this this piece and Senator Hahn's amendment and let you know we're opposed to accepting Senator Hahn's amendment. We really feel this section talks about a relationship between charter schools and school districts during hard economic times. I like to think of it as a divorce with child custody issues. And this would allow some cooling off time for the community as well as for the school district and the charter school. It does take time to start a charter school, and that envisions that time frame and still allows that charter school some time to do it. I have closed a school. I know how difficult it is and difficult for your community to go through. And this just recognizes that you're asking board members this year to make some of the hardest decisions we've ever seen. Also, Deputy Commissioner Anderson, in some of her former testimony, did say that if you look on page 1B, it does not allow charter schools to open in a closed building. The idea is the reason for the charter school is not solely to open due to a school closing. But in effect, she did state in her testimony that there's no way for the department to determine that. So though that says that in law, there really is no way for the department to enforce that section of the law. At least with this Senator Saltzman's provision, it would give us some clarity for a few years on how to address what can often be a controversial issue for
the
community.
Thank you, Ms. Cohen. Mr. Piccolo.
Mr. Chair, members, we support Senator Hahn's amendment. As was just pointed out, there is a provision in the law right now that says you cannot open a school to prevent a school closing. And members need to understand the process that schools go through to open. It is not that they open overnight. It is an 18 to 24 month process to begin with. By the time that the school developer group comes together, they have to find a sponsor, they have to go through the approval process, there's a year of pre-operational planning that's required before they can open their doors. If they are not ready to open their doors, their sponsor has the authority to not let them open if they're not ready. So there already is a two-year process in place for when there's issues of closures in any district. So we support Senator Hahn's amendment. And There was something that bothers me about previous testimony about public school districts are going to face economic hard times this year. So are charter schools. They are public schools too. And we have already told our schools prepare for a 5% cut in their budgets this year. So the economic impact affects not just traditional schools, but affects every single public school in the state, and public, charter schools are public schools.
Ms. Osweger.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jan Osweger, Education Minnesota. And I would go back to these economic times because we all do need to share in this situation that we're in. But, for instance, in the governor's budget, there's $2 million for a startup aid. So it really isn't, we're not all sharing equally. And if a charter school can start up and get funding for a charter school while another building in a regular public school is closed, we think it's an advantage to others. So there's a number of other things I can say, but I think the previous testifiers have done a great job. So we would oppose Senator Hand's amendment and ask
Thank
him
you.
To stay with Senator Saltzman's bill.
Mr. Kite.
Senator Wigger, Charlie Kite, MASA. I'll be very, very brief because I know you're almost out of time. Here's kind of the public policy issue as I see it. We have significant declining enrollment in the state of Minnesota, fewer and fewer students, and that's going to continue. We need to start operating fewer school buildings. And what we have in place right now is a situation in which public school districts are reluctant to take the hard step of closing buildings because they simply see other buildings jumping out in their wake. We need to close 200 or 300 school buildings in this state. And this the language in this proposed legislation would simply help to get on with that. And that's why we oppose this particular amendment. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to divide the amendment of Senator Hahn, if you wouldn't mind. And that's the first part, I think it's divisible, including K and L in one aspect of it, and M in a separate one.
Okay.
And also, a question comes to mind, and I don't know who can answer it, is that we've made changes here in terms of sponsors and their approval and their preparation. Does it? Wouldn't one anticipate that slows the process a little bit as well? Either people preparing and having to gear up or making the decision to do it are going to have to make some stronger commitments. And I think the bill in the moves that you're taking here does, in fact, slow that, too. So I would like to see
Senator
it divide,
Hill.
And I do oppose M in particular.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, I'm a little bit torn here because I appreciate what you're saying, but part of my reason to strike K and L, it's very unclear, at least as it's written, what does that mean? Does it mean that what if you have a charter school that is about to open and then the school closes? Is it all of a sudden now forbidden to open? Or can they, if the school is going to close a school building and then the charter school comes in and starts to recruit students and do the groundwork to open a school, is that forbidden? It just says you cannot open. And I'm just not sure that mechanism as it's written is very workable in the first place. But I'm troubled about that in addition to just the policy implications. So my preference would be not to divide it and just have the vote. And if we want to try to do something to address these concerns that are raised, we might find some way to do that would be a little more clear than what is in
Members, I think we're ready to vote. There will be a full debate in committee as well. Senator Bonoff?
Mr. Chair, I had spoke in support of the not allowing charter schools to go right into a closed school building because of the healing that a community needs to go through in order to retain their students. This does trouble me. We talk about 36 months, and that's a lifetime for a student. A student who's in ninth grade, you know, that's the end of their high school. I think that is the time horizon is too long, and that if even being sensitive to some of the things the school districts and the people have said, 3 years seems like not the appropriate time horizon. And Senator Shy did give me President Obama's quote, and he's strongly urging states to not go down that route. But Notwithstanding that, I do think 36 months is too long.
Mr. Chairman.
Sarah Shy.
Mr. Chairman, it's my last time to weigh in on this, I guess. I suppose till we get to the floor. It's breaking my heart that I'm not on the full committee now. And I'm struck by schools and budgets versus students and our children. To me, I think this is about our students and our children. I understand the competition for the dollars, and that's what I heard some of the folks saying up here. And I'm on their side. I'm trying to get more money for the public school, the independent public school districts that I represent, four of them. And they have big needs, and they have buildings closing. They have extraordinary concerns. And I'm concerned about all those students. And I'm concerned that parents have a choice, continue to have a choice about where their students are educated and how they're educated. And so if we concentrate on the children and on the students, I don't think we'd want to interrupt that parental choice or that capacity or even the ability, the opportunity to make that choice for your student if you think that they should be in a charter school. We stepped out on a limb, on a cutting edge, you know, 18 years ago, and it would be a shame to pull back from it just now, to cool off, as Senator Saltzman said, when the president's getting pretty hot about expanding charter schools. I mean, if I can make the temperature, you know, difference here or note it. I just hope that you don't do this here, because I think that it's just very chilling. It's very chilling. It cools off, Senator Saltzman. It's chilling, actually.
Senator Hand's amendments before us, all in favor?
You didn't divide it? I asked for a division.
Mr. Chairman, I prefer not to divide it.
Okay, you want me to withdraw that? Well.
Okay. His motions before us, all in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No. No.
Motion is not adopted.
Division.
Senator Saltzman.
Do we have a division?
Division is called.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, but Senator Hand, so you're doing, you're deleting, say it again, you're deleting.
The motion was to delete the paragraphs KLM, I guess.
KLM. Okay, and a division's been called. All in favor of the Hand Amendment, raise your hand. Those opposed, raise your hand. And I believe it's 3-3. Mm-hmm. It is not adopted. Senator Saltzman moves that Senate File 867 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Senate Education Policy Finance Committee. Senator Olson.
Before we that vote, may I go back to what my original intent was, to have us vote on M alone? I would like to move to delete lines 8.6 and 8.7.
Senator Olson moves to delete. Excuse me, I had it.
Mr. Chairman,
section M.
Mm-hmm. It's the sub.
Okay. Yes, at lines 8.6
and 8.7.
On that motion.
Because, Mr. Chairman, I think that goes beyond the issues that are raised in the other points, and ones that would be ready and are prepared and represent the choice that I think Senator Scheid talked about so ably.
Okay.
I think it's inappropriate to have that.
So on that point, Mr.
Senator
Chair, if I just might mention that it's my understanding there are about there were 151 charter schools and one was closed, and there are six that have put applications in. So the 160 does allow for some growth, and also in terms of if we have limited dollars for startup aid or lease aid or other things, I would make the argument that over the next 2 years, if the pie remains the same, will some schools get less? So I think that this ensures that if there's growth and then there's less money, I think that we'll be having to deal with that as well.
Senator Olson.
And Mr. Chair, I think there's startup aid coming from the federal government. There may well be additional dollars from that source that could compensate for some of the shortages that we might have in those particular categories. And then the dollar amount is whatever happens the same to the charter schools as it does to the regular ones. Plus, they get less in the first place, not having access to property tax and so on.
On Senator Olson's amendment, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No.
No. Motion does not carry.
Can we do have a division on that?
Division called. All in favor, raise your hand.
Oh, well, I
those opposed, raise your hand.
To break a tie.
Thank you.
There being a 3-3 vote, it is not adopted. Senator Saltzman renews her motion that Senate File 867 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the full Education Policy Finance Division. All in favor indicate aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We apologize to the Transportation Committee for going over. Senator Saltzman, thank you, members of the committee, for all your work. And again, we will have a full discussion again in committee.
Oh, yeah.